Larry McCarron, podcasting along with head coach Mike McCarthy. And Mike, at your press conference, you just announced Brian Bulaga's out. And if I know you, you spent an entire offseason planning and making more plans for this season, like down to the minute. But every season is its own animal, isn't it?
Very true. Every preseason is its own animal. As we found out, it always goes in a different path. The schedule seems like it's never the same. Just the way the games, how we played them, and the stress of the scheduling on our football team at the end of the year. And then you get started, and you know, obviously you have Jordy Nelson injury, big injury there, and the Sam Barrington in week one. So, you know, the disappointment for Brian, you feel, you know, it's just tough for him because, I mean, he's put so much into this. And but, you know, he'll bounce right back. I'm really don't know the extent of the injury quite yet. He's still going through the evaluation process, but I know he will not be available for Sunday night at Seattle, and I just felt like it was important just to get to, you know, get it to our team, and let's get ready. And you know, our young linemen, and starting with Donnie Barclay and JC, and you know, those guys will step in, and we'll just keep going.
Like I said, you just met with the press, and in a typical week you talk to us on Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Somewhere along the line, you have time for a TV show. And then Saturday, you have a TV production meeting where you give the guys some nuggets so they sound real smart on TV. How do you deal with that? I mean, that is being on stage a lot.
Thank God for Tuesdays. That's for sure. It's, frankly, Larry, it's a job responsibility. And I think everybody has an approach or a style or how they view each and every responsibility in their job description. You know, I didn't really have any media training as an assistant coach or even a coordinator. It's just the programs that I was part of, I really wasn't involved with many interviews. So so when I became the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, I really didn't have any experience to draw from, so I just thought I'd just be straight and play right down the middle, and it seems like it works. As you know, I'm so damn popular in the media. They just, you know, with all my, you know, fancy charismatic answers that I give each and every week, and just all the personality that I exude at the podium. So it seems to be working.
Mike, last week you mentioned that the girls, the ladies in your life, are going to a concert, like Taylor Swift or something.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they had a great
time. Now, how was that?
They had a great time. I should show you the picture. My 4-year-old. I mean, God bless her. I mean, she had to go, of course. But Jessica has a picture of Izzy with those headsets, I guess, that keep all the noise out. And she's, you know, and they had really good seats, like, I don't know, fifth, sixth row. They're pretty close to the stage. And Isabella was sleeping in the first 10 minutes of the concert. So, I mean, the concert was great, but, you know, it was just too late for her. So, but they had a great time. I guess Taylor's just a phenomenal entertainer, puts on a great show, and obviously has great music. So the McCarthy gals had a big night in Minneapolis last weekend.
Mike, what's the biggest band or concert you ever went to?
You know, I don't say couldn't afford it, but I mean, we just weren't into that stuff as kids. You know, we listened to the radio, and my father had owned a bar, so the jukebox was like a big deal, you know? So that's about as far as the music went in our house. No, my mother always played Christmas music, and my mother was a very creative person. So, but now, being married to Jessica, music is one of the top 10 things that goes on in our home. So, all of our kids are really into music, even starting with our oldest daughter, Alex, you know, Jack George, all the way down. So our 6-year-old, I think Gabby may end up being a singer. I mean, she hears a song and she's got it in her head already. So, you know, that's kind of the way our lifestyle goes. But I've been to the biggest concerts I've been to are really in the last 3 years. You know, I saw the Rolling Stones down in Milwaukee this past summer. I saw the Rolling Stones over in London 2 summers ago. Saw Fleetwood Mac this past year. That was a great concert. So Kenny Chesney twice. I mean, Kenny puts on an unbelievable show, and he's just such a a great guy, and you know, to be able to walk out on stage and be part of the, you know, the backstage atmosphere is just eye opening. So, you know, we you and I have seen Lambeau Field in some great moments in our time here, but to walk out on the stage at Kenny Chesney, it's, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. So that's pretty unique. So really, my concert going opportunities really happened here in about the last 5 years.
Of all the cool jobs in the world, I've always thought like being a rock star would be pretty cool.
Boy, I tell you what, I don't know if I could be that popular. Them guys live a different life now. Wow, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, the life that they lead. I mean, you always appreciate their talent and their music, but when you get to go behind stage and see the, you know, the whole operation, is so impressive. Because, you know, you can't help to think how, you know, anytime I go to the baseball game, have an opportunity to be around Tony La Russa and spend a day with him before the game, and you see how he operates. What can you apply to, you know, to the football team? And they're asking you the same thing. Same thing Kenny Chesney, he's got a million questions. How do you guys do this? How do you guys do that? So, you know, you're always trying to learn from people in other businesses. But, gosh, I mean, really the whole stadium concerts is a big deal. So actually, Jessica and I went to see Justin Timberlake. She's a fan about a year or two ago over in Minneapolis. Another big time, you know, arena concert. I just think the guys that could move an arena like that, a full stadium, is just, I mean, that's a special gift.
Mike, what's the maybe you mentioned it already, the coolest thing or the coolest person you met? Because, okay, you're the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, you're a Super Bowl champion, and people want to meet you. Was there an experience you think, wow, now that was big time?
Oh, it's so many. I don't even know where to start. You know, I remember the first time I met Bart Starr. You know, I was like, wow, he's everything, you know, you could ever – would think of, just for, you know, the stories you hear of them. So just all the former great players here are just, I mean, they're so engaged into the Green Bay Packers, and you know, we want to make sure that you know, they still feel a big part of the organization when they come back. It's alumni weekend, so it's, you know, it's obviously Bart's been on my mind, you know, he's been on my heart all week. Willie Davis, and you know, geez, I mean, Jerry Kramer, Larry McCarron. I mean, so it's really that part's really neat, because as a kid, you know, you grow up and you see these guys playing, you get into the coaching ranks, and then having the opportunity to work in Green Bay at 99 just for the 1 year. So, I mean, that's always really cool. But, you know, people outside of football, because there's so many great people, you know, that are part of the NFL. Like me, Mike Ditka was a big thing for me. Back when I met him at the Lombardi Excellence Dinner, when Coach Ditka won the award, to sit there with Cherry and Bart Starr and Mike Ditka and just talk about, well, I listened, but just, you know, sit, you know, at a table for 45 minutes, you know, just really a cool experience. So that, you know, that's been really neat. But yes, I've been blessed to meet some really important people. I mean, the President of the United States, Barack Obama. That was a really cool exchange. You know. Just, he was very personable with me, and I mean, I hugged him. You know, I'm not a big hugger. You know, so, you know, I'm not the kind of guy that hugs you the first time I meet you. It's just not the,
are you
not
Democrat?
The way it was. Well, I was raised an Irish Catholic Democrat, but you know, that was a long time ago. But no, I don't want to get into politics. But I mean, yes, I'm trying to be. I don't want to disrespect anybody, because I've been very blessed to meet so many neat people over the years. So, and it's really, you know, part of the job, and you don't really think you're really that important, but just, you know, being part of the Green Bay Packers is, you know, people want to be around the Packers, they want to be a part of the Packers. So
in your Friday routine, if I have this right, you used to always have a one-on-one with Aaron. Is that still the case, and has that changed some since you're not calling the plays and stuff?
Yes, it's changed, and really, I really like the schedule and the format of how Tom Clemens and Alex Van Pelt and Aaron and the quarterback are going about it. They actually had their meeting. That's, you know, earlier I was in it just for about the first half an hour. And then I'll have a follow-up meeting with Aaron on Saturday mornings. It's a lot shorter than the one we used to have. But, yes, I mean, you know, I still want to have, you know, that insight and connection with what's going on. Not really because, you know, I totally trust Tom and Aaron, the offensive, but it's really being on top and engaged in the whole game, what's going on, offense, defense, and special teams. So I'm very routine-oriented. Sometimes the meeting may be more for me than for Aaron, but, you know, but the other part of it too is, you know, it's the personal relationship that I have with Aaron. And frankly, that's the best part of that meeting. It always has been. You know, in the earlier days, we always had it on Thursdays. I mean, that meeting could last an hour. It could last 3 hours, you know, but, you know, his life's changed. My life's changed. So, you know, we don't have the time after work that we did back in those early years, but, you know, it's important for me to keep up with him and just, frankly, just make sure he's doing okay more personally and professionally. I mean, I get to watch him every day, and I'm around him every day at practice. I mean, you go to practice, he's doing okay. I mean, God, he made two throws yesterday. You just, you know, I still scratch my head sometimes. So, but, you know, so that it's really just making sure I'm talking to him personally and that he's, you know, he's doing okay.
Final thing for you, Mike, and I was wondering – okay, first regular season game, and you're not calling plays. Was it everything you hoped it would be as far as seeing everything and be able to contribute and everything? And did you ever have a moment where you think, how did I do all this and still call the plays? How was that for
definitely,
you?
Definitely. There was definitely a point in the game where I thought, you know, this is where I'm supposed to be. You know, now I understand why head coaches, you know, the traditional role of overseeing all three phases, because that's, you know, that's ultimately what the head coach is responsible for. So, you know, and hey, you're young, you know, you think you're pretty smart, and I don't regret doing it, because I know when I was hired here, and I've always felt I've told, you know, some of my younger colleagues this, that when you become a head coach, which you are known for, your team better emulate that. So I felt it was very important that the Green Bay Packers played offense a certain way, and that's where my strength was. Now, I've been very blessed, obviously, with our quarterbacks, you know, with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, it's the quarterbacks need to play a certain way. And, you know, like, gosh, I mean, Brett Hundley made a throw yesterday, the next last play at practice in the red zone. It's this, you know, it's the same throw Aaron's made twice this year already. It's the one that was left on in Chicago. They called back on a penalty. Now it was, you know, but you're like, hey, the young guy's paying attention. I mean, he's, you know, just because it takes a lot of athletic ability for Aaron to, you know, obviously make that throw, and his arm strength and his anticipation. And when did he throw it to? That's a whole another part of it. But, you know, to see the young quarterback or the young player paying attention to the great player in front of him and trying to emulate that, that was a big moment for me. Alex Van Pelt and I were sitting up in the office last night, just, gosh, it's awesome. Just because when you see the younger players, you know, picking up what the older guys are teaching them, because that's what it's all about, and that's the environment we always wanted to create here, and that's why I go back to the beginning when I became the head coach. The offense needed to be ran a certain way. We needed to play a certain way, and it was always about the quarterback. That's the way I learned the offense back in 1989, and I truly believe in it. I've experienced it. I've had success with it, and that's why we go about it the way we do. But now that, you know, I'm older and wear glasses like you, Larry, I just think that it's, you know, it's time to do more. So I do. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the game. I thought Tom, and hey, I ain't gonna lie to you. Just a couple times you want to jump in there and just kind of, you know, or just say, hey, you know, after the series over, don't forget about this, or we talked about that. But hey, Tom and the offensive staff, Edgar Bendis doing a phenomenal job. But all those guys, Alex Van Pelt, all the way down, and just the line, James Campen, Mike Solari, Jerry Fontenot, they're doing a tremendous job, and we're in good hands. But I'm enjoying being a part. I really love being around the special teams and defense. You know, it's just it's fun. It's fun to watch those guys operate, and it makes me appreciate my coaching staff even more. I mean, we got. This is best coaching staff I've ever been a part of. I mean, you've got great teachers, a lot of experience. The players are engaged. The meetings are the competition of creativity and you know, stimulating the millennium generation. And, you know, I mean, hell, Edgar Bennett, I don't know if he could – he has more highlight films in a week than I had in 10 years, my first 10 years in the league. So, I mean, just, you know, I don't think people realize how much energy that these coaches and how much work these coaches put it into 1 week of game planning. And then when you see your players, you know, just soaking it all up, and, you know, your team is raising their football IQ, and, you know, they've bought into it. And, you know, I go back to Brett trying to, you know, he's learning from Aaron and all those things. It's fun to see, because that's the program that's what you want to build. But more importantly, we need to beat the Seattle Seahawks. So, and that's what it's all about.
Go get them. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Larry.